Thanks,
Alex.
You mind getting me one?
No.
Thank you.
I was sort of walking out with them. Yeah. I was sort of walking out with them.
Sure.
That's enough difference.
All
right. Yeah. Okay, well, it's on. It's on paper, but you didn't notice it.
Yeah, well, I looked at it and I did not notice it.
The Parshas Yisro.
Yeah.
Okay. I told you about that. I'm close to everybody with my grandchild and everything.
It was funny. I was listening to him when I was going to that place. I said, I'm supposed to be in the show for my parents.
Okay.
So I guess we have to try this.
We'll see.
Okay. Okay.
We'll see.
What do you have here?
Sean Ali.
Okay.
So here you're not coming for Lexi at all, fiance?
We come to the same thing.
Yeah, but I come to the usually get the
I just have nine children.
I just want to ask a question. So for example, a coach said that you wanted the throw me from the Kamani tribe. What's the source that they're more...
The whole thing's infection about the whole thing. We have the business right from Shalom.
No, you want to tell us, I'm Shalom. Good job.
Sections inside,
But he's got to, well, you cut it in his hand, the Gemara says. You cut it in half.
He says a lot of this is in that section.
Section. Okay.
It's like an orange. That's
right. So you're saying it has.
That's what I'm like.
Sorry, just, I don't know. I've never opened up an Ezra.
The skin is supposed to be very good. It's very good. It's edible.
That's the only question. Very bitter. I never searched out
Ezra.
It's a dust. What are they thinking about? Oh, so that's what I hear the word. So that's
not printed all the books.
That's good to know. Because I said it's got to be a reason.
Yeah, they should invite him to speak.
That's the finish. You're going to say, I got to tell them about it. What's the guy's name? This person's name?
So that guy. That's why you have to be there in Hollywood. She was showing you the X-ray. She gave you the whole thing. That's what cut up.
So, thank you very much. Good fiddle.
Okay, so you want to move it up and down. That's easy, right? But then if you have to tighten it, you go like this. You want to adjust it like this.
You want to make sure that whoever speaks is right.
Thank you.
Tova to everybody joining us live and via the webcast. We're going to give it another 5 minutes. We just found out that the Harlem River Drive is closed partially because of a bike tour, so we're going to give it another 5 minutes. But I promise to have everyone out of here by 11 o'clock, even with Kibbutz Kal outside after we finish the daf. So give us another 3 to 5 minutes and we'll begin. Thank you.
On behalf of Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzhak Elchanan and the Center for the Jewish Future, we'd like to welcome all of you to today's Daf Yomi Siyum. The Pachad Yitzchak in Maimer Nud Zayin on Sukkis uncharacteristically records a story of two students of the Chidushei Harim who were dancing on Simchas Torah. And the Chidushei Harim commented that one of the students would tire before the other. The students were mystified. How can you tell? How can you measure their endurance simply by virtue of their dancing at this very moment? And the Chidushei Harim explained, "Ha'echad rokad mikoach simchas haTorah shelomad be'ovar ad achshav." One of them is dancing, animated by their simchas haTorah, based upon their learning that they have studied until this point. Ve'ilu hasheni rokad mikoach simchas kabbalas haTorah. Rather, the other one is dancing as a result of the Simchas HaTorah, al kol osa Torah sheyilomed be'osid, regarding all of the Torah that he ultimately will accomplish. Bevadai shele Torah shekvar lomad. Certainly, when it comes to the Torah, we have learned. Afilu ye rav meod. Even if it's a great and significant and substantive amount of Torah, yesh lo gevul. There is a certain finality to it. Avala Torah sheyilamed laosid. But the Torah that we ultimately devote ourselves to learning in the future, halo rechava mani yomhi. It is as great as the sea. There is a difference between dancing based on what we've learned and dancing in anticipation and aspiration for what we hope to accomplish. We gather today to celebrate not only a siyum of the Talmud Torah that so many in this room and so many who are watching with us online have accomplished up until now, but we also commit ourselves to the growth in Talmud Torah, to the aspirations and the dreams of accomplishing further that open the reservoirs of passion and energy for one's dedication to growth in Limud HaTorah. And it is so fitting that we do so together today in our yeshiva. A yeshiva with such a glorious past of such great gedolim, of such incredible contributions to the spiritual vitality of the larger Jewish community, but a yeshiva that continues to produce the most learned and passionate and inspirational Talmidim and future leaders that will ultimately define our community. Under the brilliant and creative leadership of Rav Menachem Penner, the Dean of our Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchok Elchanan, together with all of the incredibly illustrious and accomplished Russia Yeshiva, our Yeshiva continues to animate the broader Torah world with an unparalleled level of scholarship and Simchas HaTorah. And so today we will dance together not only our own Simchas HaTorah, we dance not only for Seder Moed, but we dance for Seder Nezikin as well. We dance not only for what we have learned, but we dance for the aspirations and the dreams for what we hope to accomplish. Mazel tov to all who have joined us today, and we may all have the schus to join together on Wednesday, June 1st, 2015, on the Israel campus of Yeshiva University for our Siyum on Seder Noshim. At this time, it is a great kavod for me to introduce Harav Herschel Schechter, our Rosh Yeshiva, our Rosh Kolel, a giant in Torah leadership throughout our community, to share with us the final words of Meseches Chagiga and Seder Moed. Rav Schechter.
The end of the period of the Bayi Sheni, they had an institution of Ami Ha'aretz. Seems to correspond roughly to the conservative and reform Jews, but not exactly. That's what the Chasam Sofer discusses, to what extent did we carry this over. So the Mishnah says that the Ami Ha'aretz were chashudim ala maisris, but on Shabbos, if the Amoretz tells you that it's gemaisir, so then you're allowed to rely on him. But whatever is left over on Mitzoy Shabbos, you have to be mafresh maisris. Because the whole Hafroshes Maisis was only a Chumrah. We assume that the Rova Amoretz are masrinim. So here also the Mishnais at the end of Chagiga have that the Ami Ha'aretz are chashudim ala tuma also. They're not careful about tuma, not 100% careful on tuma v'tara. So if they would touch the kelim and the Beis Hamikdash, the kelim would become tummy. Anything they would touch, if you would touch them, you would become tummy. So the Mishnah says that Baregel, the Gemara learns that from a Pasuk in Navi, that Baregel, we treat all of the Ami Ha'aretz as chaverim. We say that they're not tummy. But whatever kelim, let's say there were Kohanim who were Ami Ha'aretz. So they came, everybody came on Yontav, and everybody's Makar Karbonis, and everybody's touching all the kelim. So whatever kelim the Kohanim touched on Regel, so on Regel we leave it, but after Yontav is over, just like after Shabbos is over, we go back to the din, we have to be mafresh. Maisris on what they said was gemaisrit already. On Shabbos we can eat it. Also, by Regel, we rely on them, but after Regel is over, then we have to be toibel all the kelim. So the Mishnah has that they had backups. They had second and third copies of all of the kelim. So whenever a kli would be tummy, they would have to be tovel in the mikveh. So then they had the second one. If the two would be tummy, they would put the third one there. So the Mishnah mentions the top of Chavov and Beis. The Mishnah mentions that the Shulchan and the Beis Hamikdash the Mekabel Tumah, and the two Mizbachas, the Mizbach HaNechoshes, the outside Mizbach and Mizbach HaKtores, Mizbach HaZov, the inside Mizbach, are not Mekabel Tumah. So the Gemara is in the middle of discussing on Chavov and Beis, and there's a whole discussion, why is the Mizbach Why is the shulchan the kabel tumba? The shulchan was made from wood, and we have a klal kliyetzel asid anaches. If you have a heavy, the Gemara has a, if you have an Oren Kodesh, this Oren Kodesh is attached to the wall, you can't move it. But if you have a wooden Oren Kodesh that you can move, but heavy, so usually you let it sit in one place, you don't have wheels on the bottom. So the Gemara says that a kliyetzel asid anaches is not a kabel tumba. So the Gemara says the shulchan was a big, heavy piece of furniture, and it sat there the whole year. Nobody ever moved it, so why was it a kabel tumba? So the Gemara came up with a whole chiddush that on Shalosh Regalim used to pick up the shulchan and squeeze the lechem upon him and show everybody, look how fresh it is, that it's still warm and it didn't become stale even though it was sitting on the shulchan for a whole week. It was a miracle. They quote, the Steichemet quotes a letter from Rav Shlomo Levilner. Where did they get this einfall from, that they should squeeze the lechem upon him and show everybody? So he said it's based on the pasuk that the Gemara quotes on the first daf in Chagiga. Yirei yeroi kederuch shebalei roz kach balei roz. The people are supposed to be oila regal, that the Baruch Shalom should see them. We're supposed to see the Baruch Shalom most. How can you see the Baruch Shalom? Ain't no goof, he doesn't have a body. So that's why they used to demonstrate the Nizam Tadirim, used to show something that indicates that there is a Hashuas Hashchina. So he used to show this ness. So the Gemara says the reason why the Shulchan is Makabal Tumah, even though it's a Kliyetz Oseh Lenachas, is because it's not Oseh Lenachas. On Shalosh Regalim, they would pick it up and move it to show the oila regal. So the Gemara effect Akasha, why did you have to give that reason that Anshalashikolim, they would pick it up? Why don't you just say that it's Mitzupe Zov? If it's Mitzupe Zov, the whole thing is coated with metal. So Klimateches is Makabotum, even if it is Asil Anaches. So the Gemara answers on the last line on Chavav and Meves that. Can't see with the glasses or without the glasses. Gemara says, "El the shiny shulchan." The Rachmana carries a pasuk in Yecheskel that even though the shulchan was coated with a zav, it's considered a kliyetz. What's the pasuk? So they quote the top line of Chazayin Manat. Quote the pasuk in Yecheskel that talks about the mizbeach. Dichsev on mizbeach eight shalosh amos gavoya. The orca shtai mamas and mitzois of loy, the orca vikiros of ace. By that by Eli, they are shulchan ashev of Hashem. So the pasuk speaks about the shulchan and the mizbeach and it calls it ace. So you see that they, even though it's mitzupe zohav, it's considered ace. Then the Mori asked the question, but there's a steer in the pasuk itself. It starts off by the pasuk and mizbeach, we see in the shulchan are two different kelim. And for the Gemara, Rabbi Yechon, Mishlok, Ishdam, Chavayu, the pasuk is talking about two kelim. But it's merame is another thing. That bisman shabes hamikdash kaim is bech mechaper al ha'odam. Person brings korbanos, he gets an atonement for his sins. Achshav after the churban beis hamikdash shulchan shalodam mechaper alof. What it means shulchan shalodam? So Rashi learns pasuk pshad that you give tzedakah, you mach nesorchem to eat on your table. So tzedakah tatzim amav, tzedakah serves as a kapar. Others say shulchan shalodam, you talk on learning in the middle of the meal. Rashi says that it means you give tzedakah. So the Mishnah, so the Gemara explained already why the shulchan was in the Kabbal tum. Then the Mishnah states that the tum is bachas, the mizbech achitz and the mizbech apnimi were not in the Kabbal tum, so there was never any problem of the amikoharim amharetz touching the mizbech. So why is it that it's not in the Kabbal tum? So the Mishnah says mepnesha hein kikarka a kli. There are only four things in the four categories of things that are mekabel tum. Od vekele mochlem amashkin. So it's only considered a kli if it's not mechubel lekarka. If something is mechubel lekarka, it's not called a kli. See, this Aron Kodesh is attached to the wall. The Gemara talks about a wooden Aron Kodesh that's not attached to the wall, even though it should have been a kli, but it's a kli. It's also the nachas. It's still. That's why it's not mekabel tum. It's not mechubel tum. It's not a kli at all. In mechubel, it's not a kli. So the Mishnah says that both the Mizbach HaNechoshes, the outside Mizbach, and the Mizbach HaZov, the Mizbach HaKdoros, inside Mizbach, are both not Mekabel Tum. So the Gemara says, how do you know? Where were they called? Neshehem Kikarka. So the Gemara explains, Mizbach HaNechoshes, Mizbach HaDom HaTasali. The Mizbach HaNechoshes, the outside Mizbach, was filled in with offer. So it was Mamash Mechubel LaKarka. It was Mechubel LaKarka. How do you know Mizbach Hazov, the Mizbach HaKdoros was a kli? Alpidina was a kli. The Gemara has in Zvachim. We're going to get to different dinim. A major difference between Mizbach HaNechoshes, Mizbach Hazov was a kli. So what does the Mishnah say that they're both not Mekabel Tumah because they're both karka? The Mizbach HaChitz, the Mizbach HaOilo is a mechuba lekarka. So the Gemara answers the mizbach hasov dechziv hamenorah v'hamizbachos. Pasuk puts them both together. Iskish mizbach hazel hazel. You have a hekesh between the mizbech achitz and mizbech hapnimi. So despite the fact that the mizbech hapnimi really was a kli, nonetheless, since the pasuk has a hekesh compares the two. So just like the Mizbeach HaChitzon is not Mekabel Tumah because it's Mamish Mechuba LeKarka is Dinei Kekarka, the floor is considered, the top of the Mizbech is considered the Karka, not the floor underneath. As opposed to the Mizbech HaKtores, the floor in the Beis Hamikdash and the Kodesh HaKadoshim is the floor. In the Hechel, not the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Karka is the floor, the top of the Mizbech is the top of the Kli. But nonetheless, because it's a Hekesh, so it's also not Mekabel Tumah. Once the Gemara mentioned the Masechta ends off with the Mizbeach, so the Gemara is going to have an Agarta about the Mizbeach. So before you get to the Agarta about the Mizbeach, oh, we didn't finish yet, okay. The Agarta is going to come a little later. Let's see. The Mishnah quotes, Reb Lezer says the reason why the Mizbeach is not Mekabel Tumah is because Pnei Shehen Kekarka, Div Reb Lezer. That's why it's not Mekabel Tumah. The reason why it's not Mekabel Tumah, the Mishnah says Matan Shehem Mitzupim, because they're coated with metal. The Mizbeach HaChitzon is coated with Nechoshes, and the Mizbeach HaPanim is coated with Zov. So the Gemara asked the Kasha, Adi Rabbe, the Mitzupah B'Mateches is the reason why it should be Mekabel Tumah. That's not, they're disagreeing with Reb Lezer. Lezer says, and it's not Mekabel Tumah because it's Karka, Mechubel Karka, it's not Mekabel Tumah, it's not called the Kli. And they're explaining why it is Mekabel Tumah. It doesn't read straight in the Mishnah. It sounds like they're giving another reason why it's not Mekabel Tumah. Frek Gemar, Adirab, Kebe de Mitzupim Ninu, Mitama should, that's the reason why it should be considered a Kli Mateches, and a Kli Mateches should be Mekabel Tumah. And Frek Gemar, Ema, maybe you should correct the Giris in the Mishnah, should read, Chachamim Mitamim, Bnei Shem Mitzupim. They disagree with Reb Lezer. They say that it is Mekabel Tumah because it's a Kli Mateches. That's the first suggestion. There's a mistake in the Mishnah. The Boisem, or perhaps there's no mistake in the Mishnah. Perhaps the Chachamim don't disagree with Reb Lezer. They both agree the same thing, that both Mizbachos are not Mekabel Tumah. But they disagree with the reasoning that Reb Lezer gave. Reb Lezer says, you read in the Chumash, in Parshas Truma Tetzaveh, so the Mizbeach HaChitz and Mizbeach HaPnim, they're both made from wood. They're both coated with metal. So, L'chore, it should be a Kli'etz, it should be a Kli'etz, they never moved the Mizbech. They used to pick up the Shulchan and squeeze the Lechem upon him to show the Olam go. They never picked up the Mizbech. It was gigantic. So why don't you just say the Mizbech is not Mekabel Tumah because it's a Kliyetz. Osir Lenachas, it sits there, it doesn't move. So Reb Lezer didn't give that reason. He gave a different reason. He gave the reason because you have a Pasuk that the Mizbech HaChitzon is Memula Be'ofer, Mizbech HaDomah Tassili, the Mizbech HaPnim is Hukash. So the Chachamim disagreed with Reb Lezer. What did he have to give this reason for? Why didn't he just say that it's a Kli'etz Asir L'Naches? So perhaps the reason why he didn't give that answer is because he holds Mipnei She'en Mitzupim, because it's coated with metal, and a Kli Mateches, even if it sits, even if it doesn't move around, is Mekabel Tumah. So the Chachamim argued, L'Diram D'Rabbanan, L'Diram D'Reb Lezer, Kamri, my Daitach, why did you have to come out to a new reason? That's a Pasuk, that it's Adoma. And the Iskish Lahadodim, why were you concerned in the first place? Why don't you just say Kliyetz Asir L'Naches? So the reason why Reb Lezer held is a problem, Shum de Mitzupim. So the Chacham disagreed. You don't have to worry, you don't need any psukim. Miv de Balta Tzipuyim Gabay. No. The Tzipuy is only very thin, and the bulk of the Mizbeach is eights. The whole thing is eights. So to Kliyetz Asir L'Naches, that's why it's not Mekabel Tumah. According to the second suggestion, the Gemara, the Chachamim are not disagreeing halacha lemaisa with Reb Lezer. They hold also that both Mizbachas and Mekabel Tumah, but they just told Reb Lezer, you don't have to work so hard to explain why it's not Mekabel Tumah. Simply, it's a Kli'etz Asir L'Naches, and the Tzipui is Bottle L'Gabi D'Yetz, and it's called the Kli'etz, so it's not Mekabel Tumah. So because the Masechta, the Mishnah ends off at that Mizbachas, the Gemara is going to have a little agarta. So the Gemara gives a hakdama of an agarati to the final agarat. Amar Abbo, Amar Ablaza, Talmid Chachamim, people who have Rishoyim, we assume go to Gehenim. In Gehenim, there's some kind of fire. So the fire is burnt. So what if a person is a Talmid Chacham, he learns Daf Yomi, and he does an aver, if such a thing is conceivable. A person learns, does an aver. So he says, Achidish, Ein Ur Shal Gehenim Shal Letes Behem. The two words in Hebrew, Or is light and Ur is fire. So it says, Ein Ur Shal Gehenim Shal Letes Behem. If a Talmud Chacham does an avera, he deserves to be punished. He'll be put into Gehenna also, but he won't get burnt up. He won't turn into ashes. He'll suffer. He'll suffer from the heat, but he won't get turned into ashes. How do you know? So he says, Kal v'chamim is alamandru. They thought that there was some kind of a animal. Mas alamandru should told us Eshu. Somehow they felt this animal comes into existence from a fire. Asach midom einu shaletes, but if a person smears his body with the blood of this salamandra, he will not be burned by the fire. He'll get hot, but he won't be burnt. He won't turn into ashes. Talmid Chacham shkol guf anesh tichsiv halakol dvori koesh niyum Hashem alachas kama v'kama. Yeah, divrei Torah are like esh. So if you have a Talmid Chacham who talks a lot of divrei Torah, so his whole body turns into like a cheftza shel esh. So the Kal v'chamer, he will suffer in Gehenna, but he won't be burnt. He won't turn into ashes. Amar Esh Lakish, what does it have to do with the Mizbech? The next Agarata has to do with the Mizbech. Amar Esh Lakish, in Rosh Al Gehenim Shaletes, B'Poshe Yisrael, Kabachayma Mimizbach HaZohav. The Medrash says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tosis quotes the Medrash, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu to make a wooden Mizbech and then put a little bit of gold coating on top. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, it's going to burn. What do you mean? You have a fire on top. The fire is going to cause, it's going to be so hot. The wood of the Mizbech is going to burn, and the gold coating on the top is also going to burn. How can I do that? So the miracle occurred that it never burned. The wood of the Mizbech never burned, and the metal also didn't diminish. It was a nest. So that's what the Resh Lakish makes a kavacham. Ma Mizbech hazov, shein olav alakoy, v'dino zohov, kamashanim, for so many years, hundreds of years. Ein ur shaletis bo, a miracle occurred, and it never got consumed by the fire. Hoshi Yisrael, Shemalei mitzvus kerima nichsiv. It says in Shir Hashem, kefelach harim rakosech, and a chacham had a tradition, rakosech, an additional level of interpretation. That's not the poshep shot. Additional level of interpretation. I'll take rakosech, ala rekodim shebich, alachas kamba vakam. The Mepharshim will discuss over here. What do you mean? If he's Malay mitzvus kerima, so why is he called Pasha Yisrael? It's a problem. What are we talking about over here? But that's a tradition Chazal had. Some say that the Riman has 613 seeds. They say that Rav Neventhal counted it, and he said it's not true. Okay, I relied on him. Okay, I never counted it. They told me his wife got upset. Why did he waste time counting how many seeds there were in the Riman? Okay. So the Imam makes his Kal v'chaymer that the Parsha Yisrael, even though they'll suffer in Gehenna, the Ein Ruah shall let us buy because they're full of mitzvahs, and the mitzvahs will protect them. Okay. Someone else is going to make the scene.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Schechter. It's now a great privilege for us to call upon one of the midim of our yeshiva, who themselves has become a treasured Rav and an incredible Marbitz Torah, Rabbi Aryeh Leibowitz, who is the Magid Shir on our YU Torah site, one of the most popular Daf Yomi Shiurim with his signature clarity and insight, who also is a program director in Magid Shir in DRS High School, and of course the Rav of the Beis Knesset of North Woodmere, Rabbi Leibowitz.
Rishus Marenu Rabenu Haravagon Rav Shachter Shlita Avi Mori Maranan Rabbanan Rabosai. The Medrash tells us Rabbi Mani Pasach, when Rabbi Mani would teach the halachos of Dalad Minim, he would start with a pasuk. Kolatz Mosai Tomarna Hashem Michamocha. That all of my bones, Kolata Kodesh Baruch Hu, who is like you? Lo Nemar Pasuk Ze Elubishvil Lulav. And he would darshan that this pasuk is really about the dalad minim shebelulav. Hashidra shelulav doma leshidra shel adam. The spine of the lulav is like the spine of a human being. Vahadas doma laayin. The hadasim are shaped like eyes. Vaarava doma lepeh. And the arava is like a mouth. Vaesrog doma lelev. And the esrog is like a heart. Omar David. Ein bekol ha'evarim gadol me'elu. Shehin shkulin keneged kol aguf. That when you put these limbs together, these are the most important parts of a person's body that make up the majority of his body. And therefore, when we take Dalad Minim, we are expressing our commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with our entire bodies. And of course, when we sit in Sukkah, we are also committing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with our entire bodies. Our entire bodies have to fit in a Sukkah. In fact, even the most minimalist view of the Shir Sukkah is Rosh of Ruba Shel Adam. It's the six tfachim by six tfachim that a person occupies with his entire body. So it would seem that the highest level mitzvah a person can do is the kind of mitzvahs that we're going to be doing in a few days from now. The mitzvahs of Dalet Minim and of Sukkah, where we literally give it our all. Our entire physical being is designated to fulfill those mitzvahs. But there is one mitzvah that's so powerful that we exceed our physical limits in performing this mitzvah. And that's, of course, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Ein div Torah miskaimim ela b'mi shememis atzmo aleha. That a person, in a certain sense, accomplishes Talmud Torah when he kills himself over it, meaning he goes beyond his physical boundaries, beyond what he would really be able to dedicate to Talmud Torah. There's a minhag Yisrael that when we sing in a week and a half from now, Moshe Emes Visaraso Emes, that people, usually younger people, but people jump up and down. And the jumping represents an irrepressible excitement. We're jumping out of our skin as if to indicate that our neshamos are jumping out of our bodies with the Kedusha of the Torah. There's a minhag even in Eretz Yisrael to do what they call Hakafos Shnios. A very odd thing. After the Yom Tov is over, the celebration somehow continues. And maybe that continued celebration represents the unlimited sense of Torah as well. When Sukkot is over, we put away our Sukkah, we put away our Dalet Minim, and even if we don't put away our Sukkah till Hanukkah time, we don't sit in it. When Pesach is over, we put away the matzah. When Rosh Hashanah is over, we put away the shofar. But when Simchas Torah is over, we're just beginning to celebrate with the Torah. What better day to celebrate a siyum than the day after receiving Luchos Shnios, and during that brief time period when Klal Yisrael is totally engaged in preparations for mitzvahs. We remind ourselves this morning that the mitzvah that remains keneged kulam is the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. The Daf Yomi reminds us that the times for many other mitzvahs can come and go, but Talmud Torah is there each and every day. Talmud Torah is our oxygen, it's our breakfast, it's our lunch, it's our supper, it's what keeps us going each and every day. It's so appropriate that we make a siyum with the word Hadron Alach, return to us, or we'll return to you, indicating not only how our past learning has prepared us for a more effective and thorough future learning, but how we never say goodbye to the Torah. V'yigisa bo yomam v'layla. We're constantly engaged in Torah. We should all feel a profound sense of Hakaras HaTov to our outstanding Rebbeim. Rav Shechter is here today. Rav Feldman, Rav Penner, many of the other Rebbeim who are here today. Rav Blau, forgive me for not mentioning everyone, didn't get a chance to see who's here. But a profound sense of Hakaras HaTov for our Rebbeim who taught us to learn and to love Torah, modeled the role that Torah Hashem should play in the life of a Jew, and are constant sources of inspiration to their Talmidim, new and old alike. Our Hakaras HaTov extends, of course, to the Marcus and Adina Katz YU Torah that enables people, myself included, to learn Torah wherever we go, enables us to be Marbitz Torah in ways that were previously unimagined, and enables us to remain connected to our Rebbeim, the Balei HaMesorah, who serve as our link to Har Sinai. And of course, we have to recognize the thousands of people who, though they are extraordinarily busy in their personal and professional lives, dedicate the time and energy to learning Torah on a high level and are celebrating a significant accomplishment, a siyum on the entire Seder Moed this morning. And just like they were Zoche to finish Seder Moed, they should continue with a renewed vigor to face the challenges of Yevamos and all that Seder Nashim has to offer, and we should continue to celebrate many Siyumim. Rav Shechter mentioned the last Gemara in Maseches Chagiga tells us that even the Amei Aretz, even the Poshe Yisrael rather, are Malay in mitzvos Karima and are full of mitzvos like a pomegranate. A little bit of a girsa issue on the last line of the Gemara. The way this Gemara appears everywhere else is that Al Tikrei Rakaseich, Ala Rekaseich, that it's the those who are emptiest, afilu rekanim shabach mleyim mitzvos kerimon, and that's the kal v'chomer, that if even they are mleyim mitzvos kerimon, the aura of Gehenim is not going to be sholet behem. Hadron l'chomer b'kodesh slikla m'seches chagiga, hadron l'ach seder moed v'hadra chalon, daiton l'ach seder moed v'daito chalon, l'nishreminach seder moed v'sishn sheminon, lo ba'al na'adein v'lo ba'al muda'asi. Hadron lach seder moed v'adrachalan, daiton lach seder moed v'daiton chalan, l'nish sheminach seder moed v'lasis sheminon, lo ba'al na'adein v'lo ba'al b'dasi. Hadron lach seder moed v'adrachalan, daiton lach seder moed v'daiton chalan, l'nish sheminach seder moed v'lasis sheminon, lo ba'al na'adein v'lo ba'al b'dasi. Yiratzon l'fnecha Adonai Eloheinu v'Elohei Avseinu, sh'tei sarascha u'menaseinu b'olam hazeh, u'sei imanu l'olam haba. Chanina bar papa, Rami bar papa, Nachman bar papa, Achai bar papa, Bamari bar papa, Rafram bar papa, Rachish bar papa, Surcha bar papa, Ada bar papa, Doru bar papa. Harev na Adonai Eloheinu Asivris Rascha b'finu v'fifios amcha beis Yisrael, v'niya kolonu anachnu v'tzatzeinu v'tzatzei amcha beis Yisrael, kolonu yodei shemecha v'lomdei sarasecha. Me'oi v'aytichak meini mitzvosecha k'il yolam hili. Yihili b'yisamim b'chukecha l'man lo evosh, lo'olam lo eshkach b'kudecha kivam chiyisani. Baruch ata Adonai lamdeni chukecha amein amein selah v'ed. Modem anachnu lefnecha Adonai Eloheinu v'lo yavseinu shesamta chalkeinu miyoshe beis ha-medrish v'lo samta chalkeinu miyoshe kronos. Sha'anu mashkimim v'heim mashkimim. Anu mashkim l'divrei Torah v'heim mashkim l'dvarim betelim. Anu amelim v'heim amelim. Anu amelim mekabim sachar v'heim amelim v'heim mekabim sachar. Anu ratzim v'heim ratzim. Anu ratzim l'chayol maba v'heim ratzim l'ver shachas. Shenem ravata Elohim toridem l'ver shachas an shidamim mirma l'yechzu yemeim v'ani avtach bach. Yiratzam lefnecha Adonai Elohai Hashem shazartanu l'saim seder moed kent azreinu lahaskel sedarim sfarim acherim l'saimam l'umod l'lamid lishrav l'asus l'kayim es kol dvri salmat arsecha b'yava uzchus kol atanoim v'amuroim salmide chachamim yamadonu l'zareinu shlotom shatorim pinum pizareinu v'zer zareinu adoldam v'yiskayim v'anu b'salecha tancha asach b'shapcha tishmar alecha v'akitzos yisichecha ki v'yir b'yomecha v'yosifu l'chashnaschayim orich yamim b'yamina b'smola Osher v'chavod, Adonai olzi amu yitein, Adonai v'reich, samo v'ashalom. Yiskadal v'yiskadash, shmei rabah, yomadu asu l'yiskadasu, l'yachya v'asoya, l'asachu yasu l'chayi yomol, v'veikarta di v'shleim, v'shachla l'hei chalei v'gaveh, ilu me'akor pulchanu n'uchra minara, l'asavu pulchanu di shmei l'asrei, v'yamu l'chut shabrichu, v'malchu se v'korei, v'chayi chon, v'yamei chon, v'chayi d'chol beis Yisrael, v'agol v'zman kriv, imru amen. Hey, Shmei Rabbah Mivarech Li'olam U'olmei Olmaya Yisparach V'yishtabach V'yisparach V'yisroma Misnasei V'yishador V'yishalev V'yishalol Shmei Dukutcha Berichu Le'elu Min Kol Berchasa V'shirasa Tushbechasa V'nechamasa Da'amiron V'yoma V'imrome Al Yisrael V'yal Rabbanan V'yal Talmideon V'al Kol Talmidei Salmideon V'yal Kol Mandas V'arayse V'arsa Hadein Divichol Asar V'asar Yehelo ולכן לשלום הרבה חינה וחיסטה ורחמין וחיין עריכן ומזון רביחי ופורקנה מן קדם אבוון דיבשמיה והרב אמרו אמן יהיה שלום הרבה מן שמיה וחיים טוב מעלינו ועל כל ישראל ואמרו אמן עושה שלום ברמב ויעשה שלום עלינו ועל כל ישראל ואמרו אמן
צמת אבו מזוטה ומזוטה וסמנת יהיה כאן ישראל
Yeah.
Mazel tov to everyone on such a wonderful and beautiful simcha. If we could ask everyone to please find their seats for our concluding portion of the program. Thank you so much. As today's Simcha is as much about completing Seder Moed as it is about beginning Seder Nashim, we turn now to one of our beloved Rosh Yeshiva here at YU, someone whose erudition in Torah and Halacha is certainly renowned, an author of numerous Sfarim in both Lamdus and in particular on topics Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. A Rosh Yeshiva here at YU and a rabbi in Teaneck at Or Saadia, please give your attention to Harav Daniel Feldman.
Thank you, Rabbi Glasser, Rishus, Rabbi, Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi Blau, Tzibor. When this program was being discussed a few months ago, so the joke was made that this part of the program sounds like it's sponsored by YU Connect, an introduction to Nushin. Of course, in reality, no actual women will be introduced, but even in concept, it's a little bit misleading, because Seder Nushin is not really about women in the individual sense, but rather in the sense of Akeres Habayis, in the sense of Ishto Zobeso. The whole Seder is really not about females, but about families. And it gives us a picture of what the Torah has in mind for a family structure. And if we look briefly at the various Masechtos in Seder Nashim, so we see how that message comes across. And we'll start a few comments about Masechtos Yevamos. I'd like to take this opportunity to dedicate these comments as a zchus for Refuah Shleima for my father, who hasn't been so well the past few months, and who with his writings has done much to teach about the importance and the significance of Masechtos Yevamos. So Masechtos Yevamos begins with a list of relationships, which is appropriate, because the Masechta is really about what it means to be related. The Masechta is primarily named after the mitzvah in the Torah of Yibum, which addresses a situation where if you have a man who, Rachmana Litzlan, passes away without any children, but he has a brother, so the brother is obligated to marry the widow, to marry his sister-in-law, in the hope that they will have a child who can carry on the name of the deceased husband. And right off the bat, so we have two different aspects of being related that are in conflict with each other. On the one hand, the sister-in-law, the widow, and the brother-in-law are really related to each other. That's an erva. They're not supposed to be married. But on the other hand, there's another relationship that's involved. And that's the relationship between the two brothers. The relationship one brother has to his deceased brother and the obligation he has to him. And the Chassam Sofer writes in his Chidushim to Chumash in the Torah Moshe to Parshas Kiseitze that this mitzvah comes to show us the great importance of Gemilas Chasadin, of being there to give, to help, to those who are especially those who are closest to us, and therefore the Torah embeds in the very concept of Erva, in the very concept of Gili Arayos, an exclusion when there is primary chesed taking place, apparently it becomes permitted. So we have this obligation to be there on behalf of a relative, and it's such a powerful obligation. The Gemara tells us there's a concept, it's a debated concept called Zika, that there is already a relationship between the widow and the brother-in-law. It's a whole discussion in the Achronim exactly what the relationship is based on. Rav Yosef Engel and his Asman Dereis and others discuss this, different models. Is it the idea that the original marriage continues into the brother, or is it that the brother and the sister-in-law have a new marriage that's created by the mitzvah, or is it something in between? Whatever it is, there is some existing relationship already between the two, where Yibum essentially would be a formality then to bring them together. And if that doesn't happen, then the woman is prohibited to anyone else. unless there is the alternative of chalitza. There is this ritual, which is also a commitment from the Torah, and also discussed in Maseches Yevamos, to allow the woman to marry somebody else. So one might come to the conclusion that chalitza is only a matir, is only something that's there in order to allow the woman to marry another person. But the Achronim debated this, and the Oneg Yontif has a tshuva in Siman Kuf Ayin Vav, where he rejects this idea, and he assumes that it's not simply a matir, but it's a mitzvah, that there is a chiyuv, even if the woman is not interested in marrying anyone else, there has to be either yibum or chalitza, but one of them has to take place. And the Maran Shik has a tshuva. The Maran Shik was one of the great students of the Chassam Sofer, so he has a tshuva in Orach Chaim in Siman Kuf Nun Gimel, where he discusses how this package, yibum and chalitza, transmits a very important message of the value system of the Torah. That on the one hand, he says there are three parts to this message. It's first of all, on the one hand, there is the notion that the most primal desire that a person has is to pass on the Mesorah, to pass on the tradition to a future generation. Then, secondly, if one is deprived of that opportunity, if one dies without any children, so then his closest relatives, his brother, those who are closest to him, have an obligation to step in and to help in any way that they can, to be there in the most personal way to provide assistance to this deceased brother. And third, that this must be done only for completely pure motives, only with a complete attitude of lishma. And that's why we find the notion in Maseches Yevamos as well on Daf Lamed Tes, that intent is much more important than it is by other concepts. In general, we have a machlokes whether we say mitzvot strichos kavano or not, but when it comes to yibum, so Abba Shaul was quoted as saying that if one would get involved in yibum for anything other than the purest of motives, then it's close to being a Gili Arayis, it goes back to the Avera status, doesn't have the mitzvah at all, which is why nowadays we don't really see Yibum so much, especially in Ashkenazi circles, that we assume we don't have the proper intent, we don't have the purity of motive, and Chalitza is invoked more commonly instead. But the notion is there that it has to be either Yibum or Chalitza in order to convey the importance of these messages, as the Maharam Shik points out. And he goes on to suggest that these messages together are really the legacy of Avraham Avinu, the legacy that he gave to his descendants, because the Pasuk says in Parshas Lech Lecha that after Avraham rescues his nephew Lot, so the king of Sodom offers him a reward, and Avraham says, I'm not interested in any reward. In the chut v'ad trochnal, I'm not interested in anything, not in a thread, not in a shoelace. And the Medrash, the Gemara has a different comment on this, but the Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah and elsewhere says that the reward for this statement, that Avraham says he's not interested in even a shoe strap, is that his descendants have the mitzvah of chalitza, which involves a shoe, they have the mitzvah of yibum and chalitza, that's the reward for this statement. So what's the connection? What does one have to do with the other? So Maram Shik says, here you see this attitude, that Avraham says, I'm here to rescue my nephew, I'm here for my family, I'll do anything for my relatives, and I don't want any reward, that's all I'm thinking about, I'm here for that purpose. That's the attitude that's passed down to his descendants. So the Gemara tells us as well in Maseches Yevamos and Daf Ayin Tes that if you want to know who's a descendant of Avraham Avinu, so you look to see who has a quality of being a Gomel Chesed, who has other things as well, but who has this attribute of being kind and giving to those closest especially, and also to everyone else. That's an indication that they're a descendant of Avraham Avinu. And throughout the Masechta we find many different reflections of this idea of identity, of caring for someone in a way that is very personal, especially when you're related to the person, of feeling this complete sense of identity and connectedness, including in the relationship of marriage. So the Gemara tells us on Daf Samach Beis that the way one is obligated to love one's wife, ohev es ishto kigufo, that he should love his wife as himself, umachabda yosu migufo, and he should respect his wife even more than he respects himself. So one could ask, okay, so you should love her as yourself, why do you have to respect her more? It should be enough to respect her as yourself. And it seems that the idea is that men and women have different needs when it talks about respect, when you want to consider how to be treated. So there are differences between men and women. And if the husband's going to think that, okay, I'll respect my wife the same way that I want to be respected, so there's a good chance he's aiming too low. It's a good chance that he's not really going to get it. So if he aims a little bit higher, if he has in mind that I'll think of what I want, then I'll go a little bit beyond that, so then maybe there's a good chance that he'll respect her on the appropriate level. But at the core, it's an identity idea that he should love his wife the same way he loves himself, and that's again a theme that we find throughout Maseches Yevamos, that that's what relationship is about. So the halachas halachas of geirus are also in Masachas Yevamos from Daf Mem Hei on. And the Gemara tells us, if you want to join the family of Klal Yisrael, you want to become a Jew. That means become a part of the family and identify completely with the Torah of the Jewish people and the history of the Jewish people, and pass that on to the next generation. So the halachas of Pru Urvu are also in Masachas Yevamos and Daf Samach Beis. We have this theme throughout of identity and relationship, and not only with people, but also with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The relationship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was one of the major themes as well. And so we find in the first parak, with all of these Gemaras about Yibum, that the backdrop is the halacha called Aseh Do Chalos Aseh. That if there's a clash between a positive mitzvah and a negative mitzvah, under some circumstances, the positive mitzvah takes priority. And the Ramban writes in his commentary to Chumash that this has to do with two different components of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That on the one hand, we have an obligation of Avas Hashem, that we love God and we show that through doing positive mitzvos. On the other hand, we have an obligation of Yiras Hashem, we revere God and we show that by abstaining from negative mitzvos. So if there's a conflict, if we have to choose one, so Avas Hashem is often going to take priority over Yiras Hashem, but it's a balance. We have to figure out exactly how to keep the two in balance. And we find other concerns as well about the relationship towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara tells us on Daf Chaf Aleph in Yevamos, Ushmartim es Mishmarti, Asu Mishmeres Mishmarti, that we have an obligation to protect our relationship with the Torah and with HaKadosh Baruch Hu through safeguards, through Takanas Chazal, that the rabbis are given the authority to protect the Torah with extra fences, with extra rules, so much so that the Gemara says later on Daf Tzadi that Yesh Koch Chachamim Laker Davrim in HaTorah, at least B'Sheva Al Taseh, that Chazal have the authority when necessary to protect the Torah, to even contradict the Torah, so to speak, to say, for example, we don't blow shofar on Shabbos. If it's Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, we don't blow shofar. And there's a famous essay by Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman trying to figure out exactly what this is about. And one of his possibilities is that when Chazal make this rule, it essentially rewrites the halacha, and now there's no longer a mitzvah to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah if it happens to be Shabbos, that the efforts to protect the Torah become a part of the Torah itself, and this is all geared towards protecting our relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. And the mitzvahs ben Adam l'chaveru that we find as well in the Maseches Yevamos also all go to this principle of unity and identity. So for example, in the end of the first parak of Yevamos and Daf Yedalit, so there is a discussion of the prohibition of losis godadu. It's a pasuk in Parshas Re'eh which the Gemara interprets a little bit differently to tell us that we can't have divergent halachic practices within one geographical area. You can't have visible halachic differences. This is one of the primary issues coming up, Chol HaMoed and Tefillin, the one, the big discussion about the prohibition of losis godadu. So Rashi writes over there that the concern is it shouldn't look like two Torahs. It shouldn't look like we follow two different religions. But the Rambam and Hilchos Avodah Zarah and Perek Yudbeis, Halacha Yudalit, the Rambam and the Sefer HaChinuch and others understand that it's about machlokes, that we're afraid that we're going to have fights if we have division in practice. People are going to fight with each other. We don't want that to happen. That would undermine the unity of Klal Yisrael. And this machlokas leads the poskim to discuss, the Netziv and many others have tshuvas about whether this prohibition applies to minhagim. And when it comes to a minhag, so maybe we're not concerned about the appearance of two Torahs. But as far as machlokas, as we know, there are many machlokas that can come from minhagim, that can come from anything. So we have to worry about that even in regards to a minhag in order to protect the unity of Klal Yisrael. The Gemara in Daf Samachay also talks about the concept of tochacha, about rebuke. And rebuke, we have a complicated attitude, because on the one hand, the Torah tells us we have a mitzvah to try to set somebody straight if he's doing the wrong thing, but on the other hand, the Gemara also tells us that we're not so good at it nowadays. We don't know how to do it effectively, and both of those are two different halves of the coin of the identity idea. As the Rambam points out in Hilchos Deis, in Perek Vav Halacha Zayin, that tochacha comes from a sense of identification. It comes from the fact that you feel so connected to someone else that you feel responsible for what they do, but that also has to come across in how you say it. It shouldn't look like I'm yelling at you, but it looks like I care so much. I'm the same as you, so therefore what happens to you is going to happen to me as well. And nowadays we're not so good at transmitting the message that way. We're not so connected to the identity principle, so it gets lost. So we have a problem doing tochacha properly nowadays. But again, it comes back to the identity principle. And to give another example from that Masechta, also on Daf Samachay, the Gemara says that it's mutter l'shanos b'fnei hasholem, maybe it's even a mitzvah, it's a machlokas in the Gemara, that it's permissible or even obligatory to stretch the truth in an instance of shalom to preserve harmony. And there's a whole discussion as to what exactly that's based on. Is it based on a redefinition of what emes and sheker means, or is it because the priority of shalom, as the Rama writes in his Shuvas and Siman Yud Aleph and many Achronim wrote after that, that shalom is such a priority it outweighs many other mitzvos, and some explain it's based on the idea the Medrash has that the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Bakei Shalom V'Radfehu, we have to chase after Shalom. So the Medrash says when it comes to mitzvos, we don't find that you have to chase after a mitzvah. If the opportunity is here, so you're obligated. If it's not, we don't find that you have to become obligated. But when it comes to Shalom, you have to chase after it. And many of the Achronim explain that we can't do all the mitzvos ourselves, but we're part of Klal Yisrael. So we're part of an entity that's doing all the mitzvos, and we're all related, we're all connected. So all the mitzvahs are happening on our behalf. But that's assuming that there's shalom. That's assuming that we're all together in one entity. So therefore, Bakei Shalom V'Radfehu, that becomes an obligation that we have to chase after. That unity is something that we have to hold on to. So Maseches Yevamos directs us to this idea of relationship as identity, as absolute connection, and telling us the fact that we have to manifest that in how we behave towards each other. And then we get into Maseches Ksubis. Ksubis takes it to the next level. Ksubis tells us that not only are we related, but we also try to create a household, we try to create a larger entity. So Maseches Ksubis deals largely, the yeshiva has this list of learning Maseches Ksubis this year, that Ksubis talks about the obligation specifically between a husband and wife, focusing primarily on the obligation of a ksuba, that the husband has to accept an obligation towards his wife at the time of marriage, of all the things he's going to provide on her behalf. And it's a machlokas in the Gemara throughout Maseches Ksubis and in the Rishonim as well, whether this is an obligation min HaTorah. Tosfos and Daf Yud quotes Rabbeinu Tam that the ksuba that we have today is an obligation min HaTorah, and most of the other Rishonim understood that really it's an obligation midrabanan. It seems to be it's somewhere in between. It's clear that it's based on the Torah, and that Chazal expanded on the idea. This seems to be pshat in the Rambam, that the Rambam throughout Mishnah Torah accepts the view that ksuba is drabanan, but when he formulates the mitzvah of marriage and Sefer HaMitzvahs, he includes ksuba apparently as part of the mitzvah min HaTorah. And it seems that we have a continuum, that there is a core obligation min HaTorah of how spouses are supposed to treat each other, and Chazal gave more details to that and fleshed that out with a little bit more of a severity to it for a couple of purposes. The Gemara says Chazal did this that a man shouldn't be too quick to divorce his wife, he shouldn't be casual about that, instead it should be a serious relationship, and that relationship should have substance. This is how we create a household, that there are reciprocal obligations, everyone has a part to play, not only within the family but in the larger community as well. And that's why we find also in Maseches Ksubis many of the details of tzedakah. So the Gemara in Daf Samach Zayin talks about the obligation of Dei Machsoro, that we have an obligation of tzedakah to be there for someone who has a financial downfall and is not able to support themselves at the level that they were once accustomed to. We have to try to get them back. Even when it's just an emotional need and it's not really a material need, we still have to be there for them. And the Rama writes in Yeridei in Siman Reish Nun that it's such an overwhelming obligation, it can't be a personal obligation, it must be a communal obligation. The community together has to look out for these individuals, and at the same time we have to keep it in balance. So the Gemara says earlier in Ksubis and Daf Nun that Chazal made a takana that we shouldn't give too much stock away, we shouldn't give away more than a fifth, because we might become impoverished and we won't be able to support ourselves. To keep everything in balance, we have to know how much stock to give and how much to hold back. And that theme of balance is really what Maseches Nedarim is about. Maseches Nedarim talks about the concept of undertaking a commitment. If you say something, so that becomes binding, that tells you something that you can't do or be connected with, or something that you're obligated to do. And even if you don't say it, even if it's just a hanhaga tova, if it's a good practice you take on, that also becomes binding. So in fact, the founder of Daf Yomi, Rav Meir Shapiro, in his tshuva Sor HaMeir, has a tshuva about whether or not Daf Yomi has the status of a neder. If one learns Daf Yomi, maybe that should also be an obligation that one should continue to do. And it sounds like in general the Dharam are good things, that it's an aspiration, that it shows that you're trying to hold yourself to a higher standard, and that seems like it's something good. But the Gemara has an ambivalent attitude, and the Gemara tells us on Daf Chav Beis that if somebody takes a neder, it's as if he built a bama, it's as if he built a personal mizbeach in his backyard, which is prohibited. And even if he keeps the neder, it's not any better, that's as if he sacrificed on the bama, that's as if he actually brought a korban on this prohibited mizbeach in his backyard. And the Ran over there says has to do with the balance of the Torah is perfect and you're not supposed to add on to it, lo doylecha masha asra Torah. So just like a bama is an additional thing, it looks good, but it's not really permitted, so to a neder is in the same category. The Maharal says it a little bit differently. The Maharal says that this can cause divisions between people, that even though it's good maybe on a personal level, but it's going to separate the noder from other people, and maybe that's not so good. Just like a bama in your backyard will keep you from having to join the tzibur in the Beis HaMikdash, so too the neder can keep you away from others, and that has a cost, and we have to figure out whether that cost is legitimate or not, although sometimes it's necessary in order to protect our relationships. And that's how Nazir and Sota end up following Maseches Nedarim, that the first daf in Nazir says says that if somebody witnesses a sota, if somebody sees the trial of an alleged adulteress, so then he should be inspired to take on more commitments, to stay away from intoxicating substances, so he shouldn't come to such types of loose behavior. Haroa sota bekukula yazer atzum and hayayin. So sometimes a nether, a commitment like that, is necessary to protect the relationship. So we have to figure out the balance, and that's how Maseches Nedarim ends up, bringing us right back to Ksubas with Perek Naira Hamurasa, which focuses on the fact that if you have, let's say, a married woman or a girl living in her father's house and she wants to take Nedarim, so those Nedarim have an impact on the rest of the family, and the father or the husband has a say in this as well, because the Nether is a personal commitment, but it has an impact on the unit that you're a part of, and that's also something that has to be taken into consideration. So with those introductions, so we're almost ready to get married, but not yet, before we have Maseches Kedushin, so we have Maseches Gittin. And it seems a little bit funny that the tractate that's about marriage comes after the tractate that's about divorce. Gittin comes first, and the cynical line they say is a hikdim refuah lamaka, that the remedy is given before the illness, that we have Gittin before Kedushin. But in a sense, perhaps it's true. Perhaps there is a message that's being conveyed here, that if we want to forestall Gerushin, if we want to make sure that a marriage is going to last, so we first have to be warned. We first have to have a cautionary experience of learning Maseches Gittin, which tells us about how fragile the relationship is and how the relationship can fall apart, and therefore there is a need to be aware of that. And the Gemara says in the last daf in Gittin, right before you go into Kiddushin, that Hamagarish Ishto Rishona, if someone divorces his first wife, Afilu Mizbeach Morid Alav Demos, that even the Mizbeach, even the altar, cries for him. And the Bali Musar explained, the Mizbeach represents sacrifice, and a marriage requires sacrifice, and sometimes if there's a divorce, it's because there was a lack of commitment to sacrifice. It could be other things as well. Maybe it was never meant to be, but at the very least, we know that a marriage requires sacrifice. And the Gemara, in essence, is warning us about that before we get involved in Maseches Kedushin, that we have to know that this is a very fragile structure, and there has to be a proactive attitude towards maintaining harmony. So in Maseches Gittin, you also find the takanos that are there, mishum tikkun olam, the different measures that are put into place in order to preserve social harmony, in order to make sure people do the right thing. We recognize that sometimes we have to take a proactive measure to make sure that will be protected. And in essence, that perhaps is really the message that Maseches Gittin is really conveying. And then finally, with all of that introduction, so now we're ready to get married. Now we get to Maseches Kedushin, which is about the marriage itself, about the act of the marriage, which is represented in halacha by a kinyan, by a transaction. And that's what much of the beginning of Kedushin is about. And it provokes a lot of controversy because people get the impression, okay, so you see in Jewish law, what happens is a man buys his wife and she's like property. That's the kinyan Kedushin. We don't really think that's what it's about. The Rambam explains in Mishneh Torah that really it's a different idea, that the notion is that the Torah wants that if a man and woman are going to have a relationship, so that has to be taken seriously. That has to be done with commitment. That shouldn't be something that's casual. So if a man is interested in a relationship with a woman, he has to first commit. He has to first become related and express seriousness and say that I recognize, I learned all the first Masechtas and Seder Nashim and I understand what this involves. And now I'm ready to commit to you fully and to become related. So we have an expression of seriousness. So we look through halacha. Where do we find seriousness in halacha? With kinyanim, with transactions. If somebody wants to buy something, so he has to express seriousness. So we have a whole host of mechanisms called kinyanim to express seriousness. So if we're looking to express seriousness in this relationship, so we use that mechanism of a kinyan in order to say that we're serious, that we want this to be a full relationship. And that's what Maseches Kedushin teaches us as far as how the marriage happens in the first place. And then when we get to the end, we get to the last half of the last Masechta in Seder Nashim. So now we finally find out the secret, what everything is all about. So the Gemara tells us on Daf Mem Aleph, so how do you know in the Torah that you're obligated to love your wife? How do you know, in addition to all of this, most of what we discussed is in Parshas Kisetze. How do you know in the Torah there's an obligation to love your wife? That's not from Kisetze. That's from Parshas Kedoshim. It's a very famous pasuk. The Torah says, V'yahavta l'reicha kamocha. That famous principle, that same mitzvah, that's the mitzvah that teaches you that you have to love your wife. So on the one hand, it reflects again this identity principle, v'yahavta l'reicha kamocha, that you should love your wife as yourself, but it's also surprising because that's the same mitzvah that applies to all of us. That's why we have to love everyone. So apparently the Gemara is telling us that that same mitzvah that teaches us how to relate to people, it teaches us how to relate even to those closest to us, even to the most intimate and personal relationship. That's simply a more intense version of the relationship that we all have to each other. It just carries its own more intense obligations, but it's all a reflection of the same identity value idea. So with that framework, the Gemara a little bit earlier in the first parak can talk about unique relationships, specific relationships, the mitzvahs, ha'avah ha'bein, the obligations a father has towards his children, the mitzvahs of kibud av v'em, the obligations children have towards their parents, the mitzvahs la'aseh shazman grama, which may also be a reflection of the family structure of a wife and mother. All of this can be discussed in this context of this notion of v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, teaching us how we have to relate to everyone through the prism of our most personal, our closest relationships that are about this idea of identity. So essentially, with all this, when we know all this, so then we're ready to get married. Then we can call in YU Connects and we can introduce actual men to actual women. When we have these principles that Maseches Yevamos tells us that a relationship means identity, and that carries with it very strong obligations of chesed in the purest form. And we have Maseches Ksubis, which teaches us about how to build a household and how to build a community. Maseches Nedarim with Nazar and Sota, which teach us how to keep our own personal aspirations within the balance of the larger klal. Yidden, which warns us about the fragility of the relationships that we enter into and how they have to be proactively protected. And then Kiddushin, which tells us how to form this most intense personal relationship through the prism of all of that and with a seriousness that reflects knowing all of that, that becomes the mentality with which we enter into Kiddushin, that most focused of relationship, and that should serve as a model for all of our relationships. Daf Yomi is a wonderful program, not only because it allows so much Torah to be studied, not only because it creates Harbatzas HaTorah on such a broad level, but it does it in a way that connects us. It does it in a way that emphasizes the relationship of the Jewish people all around the world, that creates this sense of unity in such a powerful way through such a powerful tool. And it's a tremendous chus that we have starting today, that we're able now to study the Seder, which is all about how we're meant to relate to each other through the prism of Chazal and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through the wisdom of the Torah in the purest sense, and in a way that connects us in such a fundamental way. And now we have the bracha of YU Torah, which connects us even more, which creates bonds that are even stronger, and all across the world we're learning the daf together. It's a tremendous opportunity, it's a tremendous bracha, and we should only merit to have continued simcha such as this shared together as a family of Lomdei Torah. Mazel Tov.
Okay, now no one has to learn Seder Nashim. Good. Which is good, because the next Siyam is, Amir Tzashem, going to be June 1st, 2016, for Seder Nashim. Everyone's invited back, Amir Tzashem. Hopefully all those who are currently looking for Shiduchim will find even before them. But now now they have a Sikkum of sorts. Just a couple of closing words. Wow. That was certainly a tease for Seder Nashim. But it makes us wish, I think, one of two things. Either that we all knew what Rabbi Feldman seems to know. It also kind of makes us wish for Megillah and Sukkah again. There's an interesting small comic that was in Aretz Sheva that many of you probably seen, with a fellow with a little party hat and all these little mesechtas in front of him, and there's this huge Maseches Yevamos standing behind him, threatening him. It is an interesting change to go into Yevamos. Don't be scared off by the first Mishnah and the first couple of Dapin. But it is an interesting change for the Daf Yomi world. We've been used to making a Siyam every month, every month and a half, getting that constant chizuk to move into Yevamos. Rabbi Krohn tells a story of a Baal Bas in Switzerland who goes to his rabbi, and he tells his rabbi that he really needs for his daughter to speak to the rabbi. The rabbi, the girl is very, very anxious, very, very upset. The rabbi agrees. He knows the family. The girl has been suffering with cancer for several years. The girl comes to the Rav and tells the Rav something quite astonishing, a shaila he had never gotten before. He said, you know, the last few years, the girl's 15, the last few years when I've been getting my treatments, I've been able to really daven. But now that I'm in remission, I'm finding it very difficult to daven to the Ribbono Shel Olam. I don't feel that same intensity, and it's really bothering me. The Rav was astonished. That's not the Shaila that he usually gets. And he tried to explain to her that Avodas Hashem has to be in good times and in bad. And there are different kinds of people. There are people who respond better to times of crisis. That's when they feel closer to the Ribono Shel Olam. And people who respond better in times of joy. There are, in effect, Jews whose highest moment is on Yom Kippur, and even, I would say, on Tisha B'Av. The phenomenon of so many people connecting to the Ribono Shel Olam on Tisha B'Av. And there are people who are Sukkot Jews and Purim Jews. But we each have to be able to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the easy times and in the difficult times. We need to be thankful to the Ribono Shel Olam and joyous with the Ribono Shel Olam in the easier times and in the happy times. And we need to find a way to connect with Him at times of difficulty. Rabbi Kron points out that it's interesting that we say the same Kaddish at a graveside and at a siyum. Very, very interesting thing. We say the same Kaddish at the graveside and the siyum. We don't say Al Rabbana, but we do say the same thing in both places. And it's interesting. It's a message that in the sad times and in the wonderful times, we say the same Tefillin HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's very interesting that of all times, they picked the siyum. A siyum as an example of a simcha when to connect to the Ribono Shel Olam. And he said something, I think, a little bit homiletic, but very, very interesting and a chizuk for us as we go from perek to perek and mesechta to mesechta. Rabosai, a mesechta and shas is a mashal for life. There are prakim which are longer. There are prakim which are shorter. There are times in our life, there are things that we go through, whether it's a simcha, whether it's a good thing, that lasts for longer and lasts for shorter. There are mesechtas. There are mesechtas which are a mashal for life. We all want to be mesechas Shabbos. Right? With 24 prakim, we all want to have 24 prakim, however long a perek is in our life. Nobody wants to be mesechas chagiga, chas v'shal, in that sense. But there are longer prakim and there are shorter prakim and longer mesechtas and shorter mesechtas and mesechtas that we find easier and more enjoyable and pieces that we find more difficult and we struggle through. And that's life. That's what life is about. Not only is Talmud Torah the driving force in our lives, but Talmud Torah, the mesechtas that we go through, that is our lives. We have moments of joy, moments of accomplishment, moments of frustration, times when we feel 100%, and times when we struggle through. But our life is mirrored in the mesechtas that we learn. So we go sometimes through a time when it's easier, and it feels wonderful, and I'm on top of it, and I'm excited, and we go daf by daf, and it's sometimes like something else comes up, and I fall a daf behind, and two daf behind, and I have to struggle to get back into it. And then I hit a long sugya of Tum and Tahara, and I'm wondering what the rabbi's talking about. But that's life, Rabosai. And the trick is to find the Ribono Shel Olam, both in our wonderful times, in our days of gadlus, as they're called, and in our days of katnus, where we just push through, and we struggle through, even though we don't feel it, but we make it, we do it, we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we find HaKadosh Baruch Hu even in those times. As we move from Masechta to Masechta, from a time of so many siyums to the harder work of some longer Masechtas, Mirtz Hashem, we should feel the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on our shoulder as we're learning the Gemara, as we did through the shorter Masechtas and sometimes the easier Masechtas, sometimes, in Moed, as we go into the sea of Seder Nashim. I want to thank very much the Center for the Jewish Future, to thank Rabbi Glasser, to thank Yoni, to thank everybody who helped put together this wonderful event along with the Rabbi Isaac Elchanan Theological Seminary, to thank all of our speakers. I want to thank our sponsors. This wonderful siyum is dedicated in memory of Erwin Eisenberg, Moshe Ben Rav Isser, Zichron Levracha, father of Michelle Berman, grandfather of Reuben and Miriam, Gabi and Tova, Marcella and Aaron Berman, in commemoration of his yahrzeit on Erev Yom Kippur, by Michelle and Daniel Berman. Thank you very much. Also, the Seuda that we're about to go into, the refreshment sponsored by Cedar Market and Aaron's Casino Farms. Thank you, everybody. Hatzlacha with Seder Nashim and a good Yor. Shana Tova. The refreshments are out of Nagel Commons. Mazel tov.
Favorite day coming early.
Okay. I just want to say that Jacob Bernstein is one of the most